Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
So I want to make a couple points. The first is I decided just provocatively to really focus on the wind, because I'm sure there are people in the room who, in your heart of hearts and possibly even in your mouth, think, you know, that was really not worth the paper it was printed on, and we could have done so much better if only the movement had been more aggressive, more left, more powerful, more strategic, more stand up, more something. All of which is undoubtedly true. But I want to say that our movement, and I am a child of the 60s, so I've been through a couple iterations of our movement, I think has a big, long-standing need to believe that we are powerful enough to win the big stuff. And I think we won a really big thing. And I think we absolutely should be clear-headed about what we didn't win and how we can do it better. We can always do it better. But as I believe it was Thaddeus Stevens said when asked why he was supporting some variant of one of the amendments right after the Civil War that had some enormous compromise, he said, because I live among men and not angels. I think we need to claim this victory, and I'm going to say five reasons why I think we need to claim the victory and feel really, really good about it. One, we actually established a new right in America. Healthcare is now a right. It's an imperfect right, as Social Security was an imperfect right when it was created, when it didn't apply to farm workers, it didn't apply to domestic workers, it didn't apply, I think, to people with disabilities. It essentially was a white male program. And yet it is widely understood to be the core of the American social welfare system and, by the way, is the single largest anti-poverty program in American history. We did that. Healthcare is a right. That's huge. Tom Friedman said we completed the New Deal agenda. Now, he meant it derisively, you know, like, the New Deal, let's get rid of that crap. But in a certain way, there's a piece of that, right? Secondly, it's the largest income transfer since the 60s, since, frankly, Medicare and Medicaid. Because by and large, the people who don't have good health care or don't have affordable health care are lower income, and now they're going to get more coverage. Between those two things, tens of thousands of mostly low-income Americans are going to live who would have died every year. Think like half of all the highway fatalities in America eliminated every year because of this bill. Thirdly, we showed that the government can have a powerful, useful role, something that will have broad appeal, going to take some work, across wide swaths of Americans, and, you know, is not the question of the role of government one of the central questions of the progressive project in this country? Fourth, the role of the movement. We would not have won healthcare if we had not fought for it. Think back, there's 30 good years of healthcare organizing history I personally have been involved in. Think of it this way. Going into 2008, the Democratic presidential candidates had to compete to the left on health care. And honestly, the guy who won had the most right of the three programs of those three candidates. But he got religion, so that in January after the Scott Brown election, when Rahm Emanuel and others in the White House were saying, let's just do kids care, we can't do this big thing anymore, the president said, no, I campaigned on this, this is going to be part of my legacy. That was not how he was at the beginning of 2007. We set that up, we the movement, and we also pushed the ball over the finish line. And then finally, I think we showed that liberals can govern, that in the midst of all the miasma and, you know, the Blue Dogs and the Tea Parties and Scott Brown and all that, we actually did this. And as you noticed, we didn't do it with Republican votes. So I think the we won is humongous. You know, when you win things, you have to unite the moral and the political. The political is about strategy, is about power. And you need that, of course. But if you're not rooted in something moral, you're not going to move people and make big things happen. When in February, you recall February was actually cold this year, we got a group of our activists from Pennsylvania to march from Philadelphia to D.C. in honor of Melanie Schaus, a St. Louis small businesswoman who died of cancer because she didn't have adequate, she had health insurance, didn't have adequate health insurance, Melanie's march. And we got to Washington. Senior Senate staff people said to us afterwards, you juiced up our members. You gave them the heart to keep fighting. Secondly, inside and outside. We on the outside, we don't get a vote. So we have to have a sophisticated relationship to the people on the inside. And that relationship is, on the one hand, we help them many ways. We give them cover. I mean, the number of cookies that we delivered to conservative Democrats who voted right at the different moments when this fight was stunning. But, you know, it's a pretty cheap way to make them happy and to show them that we had their back. You had to have inside, but also we had to push them. And we had to push them both by pushing on them. After the Stupak Amendment vote, we pulled all of our thank you activity for Democrats who were voting for the bill but who voted for Stupak. Others did it, we knew others did it, but we as HCAN were not willing to thank somebody who voted for Stupak. So you had to figure out where does helping and pushing divide? And then pushing also means we had to have a whole frame around the insurance industry, because we had to remind people time and again that it wasn't government that was the problem, it was corporate power that was the problem. Thirdly, scale. I myself was never a big fan of small is beautiful, but some of us remember small is beautiful as a slogan. But honestly, if you're going to reform a sixth of the American economy, I recommend big is beautiful. We have to be at the scale of power. HCAN was the single largest funded, unified progressive issue coalition in American history. We raised $51 million, and we spent more of it on field than any other campaign in history. Because while we did do ads, what we really did is we had 125 organizers in 44 states all over. So that Tim Carney, who got elected in Scranton, should never have been elected to Congress, said to us, I will vote with you on final passage if you have my back in March the way you did in August. And also, scale means a giant coalition, right? No one organization is big enough to do anything. And then fourth place in the debate, we built an explicitly progressive coalition. There was other healthcare work going on out there by Families USA, by the Cancer Society and AARP, and certainly by the Democrats themselves. We built a progressive coalition, and we built it around principles. We had a lot of struggle around what the principles were going to be. There were 10 of them ultimately, and that allowed us to figure out what compromises we would make. This is one of the ongoing fights that we have in America. I mean, this is America, right? This is a really hard country to do progressive politics in. For a thousand reasons that I'd love to come back and have a long, just very kind of philosophical and historical discussion about. This is why healthcare has been the place that the right has tried to stop what has clearly been for decades left control of the public understanding of the role of government. The public gets, they need the government to guarantee their healthcare against the private interests, insurance, and it's not only insurance, you know, drugs, hospitals, you know, greedy specialist doctors, blah, blah. That's why it's so hard fought. And, you know, they control more media than we control. So it's easy for us to lose this. But it's a constant fight. And one of the things that we believe, and, you know, we feel good about the way we tried to do this in healthcare, but ultimately we did lose a lot of the public debate, and that is you have to constantly show people that whatever the reform is, that it's in a context, right, an analysis. And, you know, life's too short to win the things without trying to make the political argument at the same time. So we have to set rules. We have to say, if you want to sell insurance in America through these exchanges, you have to do XYZ. So in the future, there will be no copays for certain preventive care services. You know how infuriating it is when you go and all you're having is a checkup and then you've got to pay for it? And it's like, well, that's a disincentive to go get my checkup, right? I'll wait until I'm sick. So there are all kinds of rules. Then there are rules about what is the nature of the insurance company pricing. It's called medical loss ratio. It's their term for how much money they spend on healthcare To them, that's their medical loss. They're in business to make a profit. The bill sets floors for medical loss ratio. We will drive a few insurance companies out of business if this is aggressively enforced state by state. The question of the states, it's totally stupid that the exchanges are state. That's one of the dumbest things we got out of some of our brilliant Democratic senators. It should be one federal exchange. But we have 50 state exchanges, so this raises some interesting questions. Are 50 states going to use public finance to elect insurance commissioners who will have strong enforcement mechanisms in their state? Right now, zero states have that. That's a fight you could fight. You tie a couple different things together. What can those insurance commissioners do? Can they actually reject rate increases, or can they only review them? Different states have different rules. So there's a lot of possibility for future fights, which we intend to fight at the state level and at the national level.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.